IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We're so excited to be with you this morning.
And welcome back home to us. We're back in Park City. The wise man said the two great things about traveling are one's when you leave and one's when you get home.
Right.
And it is nice to be back.
Exactly. We, as you know, if you listen last week, and we're not thinking everybody listens to this every week, but we were in California at Indian Wells at a tennis tournament and had a great time. And we came home for a mom conference, which was really fun.
You shouldn't brush over that. Linda was the keynote speaker at the Momivate conference. And boy, were those moms motivated.
And was that leader organized? Wow, she really pulled it off. It was wonderful. And we were there with daughters, several daughters, and it was just really fun. Moms make all the difference in the world, right?
Well, you themed your keynote around their theme, which I wasn't there, unfortunately. I wasn't invited. This was a Momivate conference.
Yes.
But you themed it around their theme, which was smile, right?
Right. Smile, yes. S-M-I-L-E. So it was just so fun. There were
what
so
were
many.
They? S was for support. M was for music.
Yeah, I is for inspiration.
Inspiration. L for... Oh,
laughter.
It's been too long.
Laughter. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
E for enthusiasm. But anyway, or whatever. It was, I know it was good because it was you.
No, I didn't do much, but it was fun to be with all those young moms.
Oh, and our daughter, Saren, got a nice award.
Yes, she did. And helped a lot. She did one of the workshops and really helped a lot. We appreciate our girls so much. In fact, I had the most fun with them last night. Our four daughters are doing a podcast, and it is so fun.
If you're not listening to it, get on the ball. I mean, we don't care. We don't care if you listen to our podcast, but boy, you should be listening to theirs, which is called In the Arena.
With the Iyer sisters. And it is so fun. They have done so many interesting things the last couple of weeks. Last week they did one on the wilderness. All of us are in the wilderness at some point in our lives. We have a wilderness here and there. And when you think about it, think about your life. Most of you probably are in some kind of wilderness right now where you're thinking about it. But they just had the best advice, and it was so fun. So
you recorded a couple of podcasts or one.
Well, yeah. So last night, we have a daughter who lives in Arizona. The other three are in Utah, but she has a new
place. Which is amazing in and of itself.
Up at Deer Valley. And so I went up to join them, and we just had the most fun talking for about 50 minutes or so. I mean, it was hard to stop.
Podcast, yeah.
About generations and how different life is from when I was a young mom and now that they are young moms. It is amazing how different it is and yet how much it is just the same.
Exactly. Exactly. Explain that, because I think everyone knows what you mean.
Well, they started out by saying, you know, how different do you think it is? Or, you know, what was hard? And I started out by saying, you know, what was hard then is also hard now, because what was hard then is we didn't have any electronic media. We didn't have any computers. We didn't have any iPhones, smartphones, nothing. And so I would find myself, I was a young women leader at the time. We had 40 young women that we were in charge of. We had several women who could help, but we all had to divide up names, and then we had to call sometimes on a rotary phone, and then finally we got so that we could just push buttons. But honestly, we're hooked to a cord, a long squiggly cord, the whole time that we were calling. And then when you call the house, they might answer, might not answer, and then they might.
Some, if they were really advanced, they had a message machine with a little beep.
Right. But you never knew if the message got through to them. And these girls now who are working with young women, just send a group text to all of them, tell them, you know, this and that, and be there at such and such time. And then I remember being taking 8 Cub Scouts once to some activity in my big old van, and I had a flat tire out on the freeway. And what do you do?
No way to call.
There is no way to call. There's no phone
they
anywhere.
They used to have those phones on the freeway, but you had to walk about a mile to get
right.
Them.
I wasn't by one of those. And so you almost had to just flag somebody down. I think I had the kids leaning on the windows and waving their hands or something to let them know that we needed help. I mean, that was really hard. But
so these electronic connection solutions that we didn't have are now sort of the bane of our daughter's existence.
Yes. and also makes it life easier. But really, they're all so worried about their children being on electronics all the time, on computer games, on the phone, on social media, comparing themselves with others and so on. And so, you know, it is just hard both ways. But, you know, and we did talk about the wonders of social media. You can just, you can contact anybody all over the world. In fact, I was saying, we have a lot of grandchildren, 34 of them, you may know from our past experiences, but it's hard to keep in touch with them. But I just called the other night to our little granddaughter, Poem, who had helped with the birth of a baby goat. And I said, who had birthed the baby goat last night? And then we all burst into laughter because she did not give birth to the goat. She helped with the delivery because they live in Maui, up country on farms and so on. And I wanted to talk to her about that. And she said, oh, hi, Grammy. Oh, look, we are just getting ready to walk out the door to Japan for our spring break. And Dad is cleaning out the fridge. So she turned the phone around and there was our son frantically cleaning out the fridge before they were going to be gone for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks. And so I was just like with them right then. I mean, it was so amazing. You can just be with them no matter where they are. We have another family in Switzerland and we don't have as much contact with them as we could, but man, if we are worried or when we call back and forth, they're right there in their living room and we can see them. It's so fantastic.
Well, I think what you're hitting on is the reason we're so busy today, the reason people in general are so hassled in so many ways and have so much anxiety and have so much neurosis of various kinds is actually because we're so connected. We're connected to everyone. And so we're aware of everything and we have FOMO, fear of missing out, and we're trying to stay up with everything, and it overloads our circuits in a lot of ways. And gone are the days when, I mean, it's the funniest thing. We think of it as the good old days in a way, because what we didn't know wouldn't hurt us. We didn't know much. We didn't know what was going on with every person we care about, and we didn't see them every day on Facebook or whatever. And so we just kind of lived in our own little worlds and did our best. And now we have this incredible connectivity, which we would never trade away. We would never give it up. And yet it is sort of the source of so much of our anxiety. But you remind me, I mean, one thing young people who'd never lived in the era before cell phones don't understand is how did we get to places? You know, how many times were we in a car with a map trying to figure it out, one being the navigator and one being the driver? And remember the time in Wales we needed 2 cars. Our whole family was there. And so I was driving one car and Linda was driving another, and we were supposed to be following each other, but we got separated. We lost each other and we had no way to get in touch. You know, I didn't know where you would be. You didn't know where I would be.
I didn't know the address.
You didn't know where we were going. You were supposed to be following me. I mean, it was like, well, we're in Wales. There's a lot of territory here. How do we find each other? We don't have any common person. Well, actually, we finally figured out that this one person we both knew.
Well, we were going to visit her.
We're going to go visit her. So we each called her, and she somehow
put the phones together.
The phones with their swirly cords.
Right. And we had to stop somewhere along the way. Oh, goodness. So those young people that might be listening are just amazed, probably like, wow, I never thought about that, because you don't think about it. We take it for granted now. I mean, I'm on my phone so much in the day and sending joint texts. We had a friend who was hit by a car yesterday, and we've been so worried about it. And I've been sending out joint texts every few hours to let people know what's going on. It really is incredible what we can do now.
And that sort of leads to our theme for the day, which is this whole business of connectivity and podcasts, particularly podcasts and Instagram, because you've been working so much on those lately, and how that has kind of taken over for books, and how books play a very different role now than they did when we were in our heyday of writing books. But we are still writing books, and we want to tell you why. One of our daughters said, "Why do you write books anymore? No one reads them." So my generation certainly doesn't. We only read this, and this, and mention the things that are you can read fast online. But before we get to that, and before we take a little break, honey, I just wanted to say one little thing. I wanted to remind everyone of one thing, because I was reminded of it the other day. We've always said, it's been kind of a theme of ours, whenever we speak about marriage or whenever we speak to married couples, we always say, you know, the amazing thing is, even though some of us hate to admit this because we value our independence and so on, the fact is you have more control over your spouse's happiness than you do over your own happiness. You get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to make myself happy today," usually doesn't work. I mean, you might go to the spa, or you might take a bath, or you might go skiing, or some other thing you think will make you happy. And it may or may not contribute to how you feel that day. It may work against you. You never know. But if you start out the day saying, "I'm going to have the goal today to make my spouse happy, my partner, my wife, my husband," it always works. And I was just reminded of that the other day, because you'd come home from being with the girls, and I'd been working on taxes all day, of all things. And you just came in and gave me a hug and a kiss and just told me I was great. And I was happy. I was genuinely happy the rest of the evening. I could not have done that to myself. I couldn't have gone and looked in the mirror and said, "Oh, you devil, you're just so handsome." That wouldn't have worked, because it would have been a lie. But remember that the person you love most is the one you also have the greatest capacity to make happy. Like, you, we should do it more.
We should, but you realize there are some people that don't have the capacity, you know, to make people happy. And we have friends who are so sad because their spouse wants them to be independent and don't want to depend on them at all. And they want them to be self-sufficient and take care of themselves. And that is hard.
You know, we have an Independence Day. We ought to have, this is a new idea. This just came to me. Why don't we have an Interdependence Day? Because interdependence in a committed marriage is the greatest thing in the world. We need a day for that.
Yeah, well, just run that by the way.
Let's have that be today.
After the election.
Let's have that be today. Let's have the Ides of March be Interdependence Day.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
At least for us.
And I just realized when you said that it's our little grandson's birthday today, Ides of March. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to take a little break, but we will be back.
Talking about how the world's changed and how you might want to think about using or not using podcast, Instagram, and books, which are still around and which still are important, but for different reasons. We'll tell you why we think that.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We have been talking about the problems as well as the absolute joy of having the facilities we have with our outreach to our kids and our families and to the world with social media, with computers, with things that our parents had never thought of.
And we want to zoom in especially on something we know so many people on in our generation, in the next generation, and in the third generation are really using more than ever before, and that's podcasts. You can find a podcast nowadays for anything, and they can become oppressive. We know
yes,
people who have anxiety because they have 25 podcasts they really love, and they've only listened to 19 of them this week, and they've got to find time for the other six. But if you're selective, they can really be powerful. And I want to, unabashedly, I want to promote this daughter's podcast that you just went, Linda's on it occasionally. I'm even on it once in a while when they invite me as a guest. But mainly it's the four of them, and they represent a pretty big age span because there's 16 years between our oldest daughter, Saren, and our youngest daughter, Charity. And ironically or interestingly, they represent four very different perspectives, even though they're sisters.
They do.
They see things, they each have their own take on things, and they don't always agree, but they always sort of harmonize. It's really interesting. I think they have a gift, and you'll find that on their podcast. Again, if you're not aware of it, just give it a try. You'll get hooked, which is one of the things we're worried about. But it is called In the Arena with the Iyer Sisters, and you can get it on any podcast.
But they do have 18 children among them.
Among them.
And our oldest was born in the 70s, and the youngest was born in the
90s.
Close to 90s. And so it really is a huge age band. In fact, it was so interesting talking to them last night because the oldest kids can remember not having all this social media, computers, and all that stuff when they were growing up. In fact, we are so blessed that our kids did not have that. We were a little bit crazy. We told them they couldn't even watch TV, but we were in the age of VCRs, so they could put in the VCR and
you can watch on Saturday,
and
kids.
Record
you
it.
Don't have time during the week.
Right.
Do your homework.
Record it, and then you can watch on a Saturday. And Sadie admitted last night that she sneaked a lot. She had been watching a lot of
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Anyway, because they just, and I don't know, maybe we were too much overboard on that. I don't know, but none of them seemed to worry about that. They were glad that they had other things that they could do other than the ones that were sneaking in. And
well, a word slipped out of me that I wasn't even thinking about, but selective, that's the key here. I think the people we admire who use social media the way it ought to be used are very selective. I mean, they've found, you know, a handful of podcasts that they really, that they feel nourished by, they feel replenished by, they feel that it's serving their needs, and they stick with those, and they don't try to be up to date on everything. And the same thing on whether, you know, you don't have to be on every social media. Pick the ones that work for you and just do those and see if you can tie them all together, which then gets us back to what about the oldest form of mass communication, books of some kind. And when we think about the difference in what a book is, say in the 90s, when we were producing a lot more books than we are now, and today, the contrast is just striking. I mean, when we were lucky enough to have some bestsellers, you could walk in a bookstore anywhere in the world, and there'd be 20 of them sitting on the shelf. People could just buy them. The book was the end. It was the goal. It was the final step in the creative process. Now, for us and for most authors we know, a book is just the starting point. You write a book in order that you can be invited to speak about a certain subject, or in order that you can excerpt it in periodicals or in online magazines, or get on a media show or do podcasts about it. And so on the book, you almost don't expect anyone to actually read the book. You just want the book to be there as a credential and as a depository or a source to draw from. Although having said that, people may not read the book, but they may listen to it because Audible has become, among most people we know, the go-to. If you have a book, you really say, wow, I want to read that whole book. I want to consume that whole book. Put it on the Audible, turn it up to double speed.
It's not going to listen to it quite in the grocery store. 1.2 is perfect. 1.5 is just stretching it. 1.7, I can't do. But I'm at the point in life where I can't sit and read a book. I cannot find time to sit and read a book. So I put it in the car. And every time I get in the car, we're reading a book together right now. We have to stay.
For a book club.
For our little book club in our building downtown. And it really is fun to listen together because then we can turn it off and talk a little bit about it. But it's a devastating book. We're not going to tell you what it is because I don't know. It's so hard. It's about India. But I also had a book about Abraham Lincoln this week, which was
the book another book of
all
club.
Books.
John Don't Meaton. Join too many book clubs.
Oh, my goodness. It's a fabulous book about American history and the wonderful person called Abraham Lincoln. So there's still so much you can learn from books. People still read books, honey. We're just talking about these kids
who are not reading books. And we want to be the champions of books because I'll tell you, as authors for 50 years, that might be stretching. No, it wouldn't. Actually, my first book was published 50 years ago.
That's right.
A little more than 50. And so there we go. We're dating ourselves. But back in our 20s, in those days, writing a book was a powerful achievement, not only because you were published and you now had put what you felt most deeply about into words and published it, but because writing is, and I believe has always been and always will be, the best discipline for thinking. I mean, how many times have both of us been in a situation where we have a subject that we like? We've talked a lot about it, both privately and publicly. We've given speeches on it. And now we're going to try to write a book on it. And we start realizing how little we really know and how many loose ends there are in our thinking. But when you're writing and you've got to pull it all together and you've got to have it all fit and not leave big gaps or whatever, it just causes a kind of thinking that I don't think exists anywhere else. And while we're at it, we might as well tell you that we are working on 3 books that we kind of want you to anticipate a little bit. And they tie in with a lot of the stuff we talk about on this podcast. Number one is a book called Grandfather's Secrets. And it's really a book.
I'm smiling
because, you know, Linda's the great intuitive grandma who just has Grammy camps and does all these things that our grandkids love. And my only claim to fame is I've got these 12 secrets that are the things I want my legacy to be with my grandkids. And the grandkids have memorized them and they have a lot of interesting thoughts about them. By the way, I've said on this podcast before, I originally called them grandfather's principles, and they were...
That fell flat.
But once I named them secrets, they got interested. Even the little ones, we don't start them on these till they're 8 years old. They get 3 of them when they're 8. They get 2 more when they're 10. They get 1 more when they're 12 and so on. And they're arranged to sort of fit the point of life or development that they're at that time. And I just had a ton of fun with it. But the fun thing about this book is that the grandkids are helping me write it. First of all, I had to get their permission. Can we share their secrets? There are secrets, kids, but I think they could help some other kids. Should we share them or should we keep them secret? And bless their hearts, they all said, oh, let's share them, especially when I said, you can help me write the book and I'll share the royalties with you. And that was a teaching moment, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And they have come up with some marvelous little stories and experiences.
Can you give one example?
Well, I just got one the other day from one of our little daughters, granddaughters, whose middle name is Joy. And she and little, you know, kids, we're not editing them. We're just going to put them in like they come in, bad spelling and all. But she was saying, you know, I was at this camp when I was 13, and, you know, I just was not, I was awkward. I was unhappy there. I didn't know anyone. I just thought, oh my gosh, I got to stay here for a week. This is going to be awful. And then I thought of Grandfather's Secret on Joy, which is very simple. Joy is the purpose of life and a choice you make every day. And she said, I knew that, but I'd never really thought of it in this situation. And I just said to myself, I actually can decide whether I'm going to make friends and have this be a good day and a good week, or whether I'm just miserable all week. And I decided, and it was a great week. And she just kind of gave some examples. But these little stories are gonna make the book really different and really special.
Yeah, they're really fun. And they are thinking about that. I mean, they, when things happen in their lives, that comes up in their minds. And right. And now they're writing about them, which is great. But not everybody can do that, honey.
I think readers, grandparents will be motivated by, they'll at least want to ask themselves, well, what are the things I want to leave as a legacy? What are the principles I want my grandkids to know? Anyway, then the second one that we're working on with one of our daughters, who's having a struggle deciding whether she really has time to do this, is a rewriting or a new edition of our New York Times number one bestseller, Teaching Your Children Values, because it's been 30 years since that book was published. It's still in print, but a new edition is going to be exciting because while the values don't change, the threats to those values have changed. It harkens back to what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly what we were talking about the first, yeah.
And so that's another one. And then the last one, which I almost hesitate to mention, is one our publisher wants us to do that is tentatively called Funner by the Dozen.
Which will not be called, this is a testament. It will not be called Funner by the Dozen. That is the goofiest idea.
But it's just stories about growing up together in a large family. It's partly because of curiosity. Families like ours, with as many kids as we had, don't exist much anymore. And there's a lot of curiosity. How was it? How did that go?
And the answer is C-R-A-Z-Y. Right. Crazy. When we were young, though, a lot of our friends had a lot of children. But, you know, now it's just not as common.
Well, would you say four is the new nine?
Yeah, I do. That's a lot.
Big family today. But anyway, we do love books, and it'll be out of those books that we'll be drawing our material for this podcast, for what we try to do on social media, and for a lot of other things. So I want to end with that challenge to you. A lot of people we meet say, you know, how many times have we heard in one form or another someone say, you know, I'd like to write a book someday, or I've thought about a book, I've got an idea for a book. And our advice is always the same. Write it. Write that book. It doesn't matter if it ever gets published. Yeah. The writing of it will be a powerful experience in your life. And someone will read it. And it may be your own posterity.
So we hope you have a fun week, with whether it's with books or with podcasts. It does enlighten your mind. It does make you think about things that you've never thought before. And if you choose them appropriately, it can really make your life rich. And so we hope that you're enjoying what you're doing, but on the other hand, we hope that you're sitting down once in a while and actually reading a book.
So, absolutely. Have a great week, and we will see you next time on
Writers on the Road. Bye-bye.